So, Rabotai, we're on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, and we began the sugya of Havla'a. So let's just review what we know. He's got Kesef Maser Sheni, and he's in Yerushalayim, and the Torah says that he has to buy food stuff. And it's got to be a Dover Amazin, it's something that, you know, fills you up, as opposed to Mayim and Melach. And the Gemara says that we have a strange statement of Rabbi Yitzchak that seems to indicate that, at least according to one Tana, you can combine the two, that means salt and water, and go to the shuk with your kesef maser sheni and purchase that combination of salt and water. However, the Gemara raises an objection to Rabbi Yitzchak, because the Braisa seems to indicate, based on a testimony of Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, that you can buy with kesef maser only when the salt and the water was soaking with the fish. We call it the kishkis of the fish. And even if you don't agree and go that far, that the actual pieces of fish were in the mixture, but at least there was tzir, so there was the juice of the fish. And the juice of the fish is what they bought with kesef mas. So what do we do with Rabbi Yitzchak? So here's where the Gemara introduces shemen into the equation. That what Rabbi Yitzchak was saying was that if you have three ingredients in this mixture, you have not only salt and water, but you also have oil, then you could buy that mixture with kesef masa sheni because of the oil. Right? Oil is peri. Right, it's the product of olives. So the Gemara says, well, if that be the case, why are you introducing the salt and the water? I mean, leave that out. Simply the oil. The oil itself is purchased with Maser Sheni. And everything should be fine. So the Gemara answers, the problem is that the seller jacks up the price because of the addition of water and salt. We gave an example yesterday. Instead of charging you 100, he charges you 110. So he adds that extra price that reflects the addition of the salt and water. Now, when you go ahead and buy this concoction from the seller with kesef maser sheni, you're in effect paying an extra 10 in order to buy the salt and the water. Well, the salt of the water at this point, the Gemara is insisting, is not nilkach b'kesef maser sheni. It just doesn't fit into the description of peri. So the Gemara answers b'avla. There's like a trick going on over here. And the seller says to the buyer, because again, he wants to get a sale over here, so he tells him, I'm going to charge you 110 for the oil. And let's be honest about it. He's just fooling you. Oil goes for 100. Why is he charging you 110? So that's called havla. And with havla, we're going to allow you to pay that extra fee because we're going to define it as money that's paid for the oil. Why? Because that's the way the seller presents it to the buyer, havla. And there's no separate additional price that's added for the salt and the water. So that's what we're up to now. The Gemara wants to question whether Havla is a halakhically valid a valid system, if I could use that term. So let's just see where we're up to now. We're on Chav Zayin Amid Beis, and we're up to line 3. Bahavla mishari. Can we be matir in the case of Maser Sheni, to buy something Bavla, meaning you're buying something that is not Nilkach Bekeser Maser Sheni, but you're buying it Bavla. It's like swallowed up in the price of the Peri, in this case the Shemen. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ubavla Mishari, it doesn't sound like this would be right. And the Gemara says, in, I'm going to prove to you that Havla is permissible. And all this is to defend the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, who said that Enochinami, you can buy this mixture because it has oil in it, with Keser Vaisasheni. V'hatanya, we have to be a little careful, because sometimes v'hatanya means, and I'll ask you a kasha from a brisa, but here v'hatanya means, as it often does, I'll prove it to you from a brisa. Ben Bagbag Omer. Okay, so just to introduce this, if I had a whiteboard, we'd write the pasuk on the board. In the parsha of Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, the pasuk says the following. This is in Parshas Re'eh. It says, "V'nasato hakesef b'chol asher ta'ave nafshecha." So basically, you could buy anything that your heart desires with that kesef Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. But then the Torah adds four extra words: ba'bakar, ubatzon, ubayayin, ubashechar. Now, Unculus translates the word shechar as yayin yoshan. So we have two categories of wine here in this pasuk. So Blinetter will talk about that a little bit later. But in any event, once the Torah says b'chol asher tavas nafshecha, tava nafshecha, ta'ava nafshecha, right? So why did the Torah have to specify bakar tzon, yayin and shechar? That's the question that Ben Bagbag is addressing in this price. Ba'bakar, since it says bakar, why was that necessary? Surely that's included b'chol asher ta'ava nafshecha. Melamed shalokhim bakar al gav oro. Now watch what happens over here. I come into the shop with a wad of coins, you know, a wad of money, and it's all kesef Maaser Sheni. He's going to sell me a geshacht and a cow, right? And bakar. Fine. The problem is that he's charging me not just for the edible, which is the basar, he's charging me for the ar, for the hide itself. The hide itself is not a dvar machal, and therefore it's eino nilkach bekesef Maaser Sheni. And the only answer that we could give here is havla, that although you and I know the truth, when he charges you 110, he's charging you 10 for the or, because again, the hide he could sell separately on the market and get 10 for it. But he tells you, you know what? I'm selling you the bakar. I'm selling you the meat of the cow. I'm charging you 110. I mean, the buyer whispers in his ear, why are you overcharging me? I want the basar, right? Because I want to be allowed to buy this with Kesef Maaser Sheni, and basar sells on the market for 10, for 100, not for 110. So the seller whispers back in his ear, and he says, "Well, I'm charging you 110 because I'm throwing in the R. You know, you get an R for the bargain. You know." So then, all this they whisper into each other's ear, but you know, the sign on the outside says that, you know, 50 pounds of basar is being sold for 110, so ke'ilu, the R is bavla. Okay, and then we get a similar, in every one of these four cases of bakar tzon, yayin and shecha, we're always going to apply the principle of havla. Ubat tzon, melamit shalokhim tzon al gav gizosa. So I'm going to sell you the sheep with its shearings on top, the wool is attached. and the wool itself is not a dover machol, and it's not nilkach b'kesev ma'aser sheni, but likewise it's going to be sold b'avla. So I'm officially selling you the price of the basar, and although I'm charging you extra for the shearings for the wool, but you know what, let's not talk about that. Now he has a footnote here quoting a few different Rashis. I'll just mention it in passing because I think it requires a lot more work. He says the following, that Yotzeis Gam Hagiza Lechulin. He says, Af Shekone Bavloas Habosar, Gamis Haor Vagamis Hagiza, Shneem Yotzim Lechulin. All right, well, I'm going to have to come back to this. I had trouble with this the first time, and I have trouble with it again. Again, just make a note of it. Where is it? It's about 10 lines down from the top in Rashi. He says, Afal gav de ika tarte or vegiza de nafki lechulin. Again, I'm going to take a shot at it, but you know, you're going to have some patience with me because I haven't really solved this problem for myself. But I think what he's saying is the following, that he's giving to the mocher not just 100, but 110. And the chiddush of the Torah is that this money goes lechulin, and not only the 100 goes lechulin, but even the extra 10, which he's clearly paying for the or in the case of bakar, or for the giza in the case of tzon, even that extra 10 is yotze lechulin. Because otherwise the mocher is in deep trouble, because he wants to get most of chulin for his animal, for his sale. Yeah, he's not interested in running around at Yerushalayim and buying, you know what I mean? He wants to put that money in the bank, you know. So he can even put the extra 10 in the bank, even though that 10 is not nilkach b'kesev ma'aser sheni, and therefore, if not for the halach of havlah that the Torah is being mechadisha, I would have assumed that the extra 10 remains most ma'aser sheni b'kedushasam. So I think that's what Rashi means. Again, I got to take this with limited liability, but I think that's what Rashi might mean when he says, Or v'giza nafki l'chulin. I think he's referring, what do you mean, or v'giza nafki l'chulin? Well, the or and the giza were never kodesh. It's the animal is being sold on the market. But the answer is he means the d'mei or, and the d'mei giza are yotze l'chulin. And why is that? Because he's only paying these damim for the basar. So even the extra 10, again, through this new radical chiddush of the Torah of Havlah, is going for the basar. And once it's going for the basar, which is nilkach b'kesev ma'aser sheni, it's yotze lechulin. Again, I can't promise you that that's what Rashi has in mind, but I think that's possible. All right. Now, what we're going to face, I'm just giving you a little bit of a preview. The problem that we're going to face is, if you've already told me the chiddush of Havlah in the case of Bakar, with regard to the R, why did you need the extra word Ubatson to give me the same exact chiddush of Havlah with regard to the Giza? Okay, so that's, we're not ready for that yet, because first we want to see Ben Bagba. Ubayayin, Melamed Shalokhim Yayin Al Gabi Kankano. In other words, how does the seller transfer, right, how does he hand over the yayin? What was he got in his hands? You know, he obviously has it in a barrel. The barrel itself, which is, let's say, made of earthenware, is certainly not a dvar machol, and it's only there to, you know, to protect the wine and to transmit the wine from, you know, from the buyer to, from the seller to the buyer. So that the money that's being paid here by the buyer who's holding on to Kesef Maaser Sheni is being paid for the barrel as well. And these wine barrels were expensive. I remember once I took a little tiyul, they gave me a siur, you know, together with my wife, I forget what country we were in, and they showed us the barrels. I mean, the whole Torah here about which barrels and how they made it and why, you know, why it protects the wine and the wine doesn't go sour and so forth and so on. All this is bavla, once again. Now, as the seller is saying to the buyer, you know what, I'm going to charge you 110 just for the wine, which is not really true. He's adding another 10 for the kankan. Ubashechar melamed shalochim temed mishehichmitz. Okay. Now what is temed? When you take the grapes and you soak them to make wine, so there are something called chartzanim, right? These are the sediments and the pits and all that from the grapes. And what you can do is, after you pour off the wine and you're left with those chartzanim, what you can do with it is you can soak them in water. So you started with grapes. Now you have sediments of grapes or pits of grapes that are soaking in water. And you can get wine from these sediments. Now, at what point do we know that you have wine? Misha hichmitz. Now, let's take a look. What's in this tzemet? It's true that in this... I'm sorry, did I say tzemet? I meant to say temet. What's in this temet? It's true that you have pieces of food, so to speak, right? You know, things that grow from the ground, the sediments of the grapes. But you also added water to the equation. And once you get to the point of chamitzut, of the fermentation of the, we'll call it the pri, if you know what I mean, what's left of the pri, then what's going to happen is that chamitzut is a result of the pri as it penetrates into and is absorbed by the mayim, by the water itself. Now the water itself is not nilkach bekesef maaser sheni. The answer must be bahavla. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to know why I need all four drushos. What is the chiddush of each one? Adding, so we're going to do it gradually. We're going to start with Bakar. We're going to tell you the Chiddush of Bakar, and then we're going to tell you why it's a greater Chiddush in Tzon, a greater Chiddush in Yayin, and an even greater Chiddush in the case of Temet. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is going to do all this work for us, but he admits from the get-go that he couldn't figure out the word Ubakar. And he offered a pizza pie for anyone who could tell him why the Torah had to add the word ubaka. Om Rabbi Yochanan, man de metargem li babaka, or I'll leave it to Ben Bagbag. If anyone could reveal why in Ben Bagbag's frame of reference we need the extra word ubaka, then movilna mone abasri lebeik masusa. I will personally carry his begadim, his change of clothes, when he goes into the sauna. You know, the Beis HaMerchot. Because, says Rabbi Yochanan, my time akulu tzrichi labar mi baka delotzar. I can logically justify why we need three out of the four chidushim, but I could not come up with any justification why we need the word ubaka. My tzrichi, so why do we need what we need? Let's go through each one of the four, and then we'll see that once we have number four, why do we need number three? Because number four is a greater chiddush, so for sure number three, and so forth and so on. And we're going to get stuck with ubaka. So what is the gradual chidushim of havla as it develops from bakar all the way up to temet? The ikos of rachmana ba bakar. If the Torah had only told you that you have havla with regard to the hide of the cow, I would have said bakar hu de mizdaven aga algav oro mishum de gufehu. what is the basic logical principle of Havlah, says Rabbi Yochanan? It's gufehu. That somehow we can consider the hide not as a separate entity which is being sold, but rather as part and parcel of the basar. It's almost like a loch of tofel. And that's what he calls agav oro. So if the sale is being done on the bakar itself, then you know what? The hide, right now, I mean, I haven't, you know, strip the bakar of its hide, of its ar, and therefore the ar is part of the goof of the bakar. And if you think about it, when I take my kesef, my sasheni, and I go out to the market, I'm not buying basar. If you look at the Gemara's language and the Torah's language, I'm buying bakar. What's the difference between basar and bakar? Bakar is a live animal. I'm going to buy a live animal because I don't have refrigeration for, you know, a full cow. Come, you know, Thanksgiving, when I want to, you know, cut up the cow, I'll get a shochet to shech the cow. So when you think about it, if the cow is alive, it's impossible to separate the basar from the ar. You can't do that in a live cow. The cow will die, you know, and then you'll have a trefa, right? So then I understand how Avla operates. There's no question that the ar is part of the basar. Avol tzon, if I didn't have the extra word tzon, al gav gizasa, the lav gufehu, emolo. Oh, this kind of avla I cannot accept. Why? Because the mocher could have just taken a scissors, you know, and he could have sheared off the wool. It's a live tzon, but you know the tzon is a tzon without the wool. You don't have to leave the wool on. The answer is he wants to make an extra profit. That's another story. You know, it's one thing in the case of bakar, I couldn't take off the ar. It's a live animal, but in the case of tzon, despite the fact that it's a live sheep, I could have sheared off the wool from the sheep, and therefore I have a gevald gechidish here in the case of tzon, that even though the shearings, the wool, are separable from the tzon itself, nevertheless, I can still apply the principle of Havla, and Kaviyachal is not charging me extra for the shearings. Because of Rachmana bat tzon, al gav gizasa, hava mina mishum de mechubar ba, avol yayin al gavi kankano, emo lo. There's a fundamental difference between the shearings and the wool on the back of the sheep, and the case of the kankan, right, of this barrel that's holding on to the wine. In the case of the shearings, right now it's attached to the back of the sheep, so I can still view it as one entity, and I can say, well, he's selling a sheep as is. You know, I'm not going to cut off the wool. I'll give you a good deal. You go cut off the wool, and you made a profit. You know. But really, that's not so. But in the case of a kankan, you know, don't tell me that you this. He says no. Even if I only had the case of yayin, ikos rachmona b'yayin hava mina mishum da hainu netiruse. You know, how are you going to watch the wine, and how are you going to transmit the wine unless it's inside a kankan? Avol temed, which is that mashke that's notzar mimayin. Right, shenitnu b'kartzane hanov mishehichbitz dekiyua bi'almahu emolo. Ah, so now he's introducing another variable into the equation, and that is the concept called kiyua bi'alma. Okay, let me just give you, if I can find the place here. I'll give you an English translation here. He says, but temed that has fermented is essentially water with only the acidity of the grapes that are within it. And I would have said that you cannot purchase this fermented grape because it's essentially water. Kasa Rachmana Shechar. So if I understand correctly, this last pasuk, Shechar, is somewhat different than the first three extra words in the drush, because at this point he's vacillating not about the laws of Havla as much as he's vacillating as to what the status of Temed is. Is Temed considered Mayim, or is it considered Peri? Good. So now we go in the opposite order. Why not just start with Temed, which is called Shechar in the Torah's language? And if Shechar is okay, then how much more so Yayin? If Yayin is okay, how much more so Tzon? And if Tzon is okay, then how much more so Bokar? So now we're going in the opposite order. Ikasa Rachmona Bas Shechar. If the Torah would have only told me Shechar, Hav Amino Mai Shechar, Dvela Ki'ilas. Ki'ilas is the name of a place. And they had something called a Dvela. They took figs and they did something with it which makes it into Ki'ilas. You know, that area was very famous for this kind of Dvela. And the word Shechar in the Torah could be used even for Dvela Ki'ilas. So we don't know exactly what the word Shechar means. And if it's Dvela Ki'ilas, again, we're going to have to justify the word Shechar. We'll get to that in just a second. And Deperihu, right? Since it's a kind of a kind of product of figs, which is a peri, therefore I could take it with kesef maser. Aval yayin al gabi kankano emal lo, because obviously the kankan is not an edible, and we have to introduce the concept of havlo. Now, why is this devela ki'ilis called in the Torah's language shechar? So in the footnote, he says that Rashi has a sugya in Masechta Krisus, and it says over there, Ochal Dvela Ki'ilis V'nichnas L'migdosh V'ovar Avoda Chayev Malkus. In other words, this Dvela Ki'ilis is actually intoxicating. And therefore, the Kohen who eats this Dvela Kilis, according to one sheet in the Gemara in Krisus, if he eats a certain amount, a volume, he's not allowed to do the Avoda, and he's chayav for doing the Avoda Bishikrus, and therefore the word Shechar. Next, Ikos Rachmona Yayin Al Gabi Kankano. And the answer is the Hainu Nitiruse. Right, the kankan is serving and servicing the yayin. Avotzona gabi giza emalo. I understand how you can apply avla to the case of the kankan because it's really part and parcel of the yayin. It's serving the yayin. But in the case of the shearings are clearly a separate entity and then independent of the tzon. So how do I know that the Torah would allow you to buy not only the tzon, but the giza on the tzon as well? Is kosav rachmona tzon diafilu al gabi gizasa, that you're allowed to buy tzon in its natural state without requiring that the mocher shear off the wool. Oh. But now, here's where Rabbi Yochanan says, I got stuck. Although Rabbi Yochanan himself is going to try to answer the question, but he's going to reject his answer. Babakar lamali. If in the case of Giza, where the Giza could have been shared off, the Torah says, I'm not going to even bother requiring that, then you could purchase the tzon begizasa with kesef maaser sheni. How much more so in the case of the or, right, the skin of the bakar, which if it's a live animal, there's no way that you can remove the skin, the hide. So that for sure would be nilkach bekesef maaser sheni. So why did the Torah have to say ba bakar? Bechi tema. And if you'll argue, says Rabbi Yochanan, this is all Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is giving a sheer klal. Im lo kasev rachmona ba bakar. If the Torah had omitted the word ba bakar, hava mina would have said tzon. Ah, now wait a second. The tzon, the sheep, also has a hide to it. Again, maybe it's not as, you know, valuable and as profound as the hide of a cow, I don't know, of an ox. But nevertheless, it does have a hide. So now, if I don't have babakar, and I only have batzon, maybe I would say the following, that the Torah is allowing avla with regard to the or of the tzon, but not necessarily with regard to the giza, right? Because the giza, as opposed to the or, could be removed from the back of the sheep. And therefore, kosev rachmon about bakar to tell me oro, and therefore I don't need son to tell me oro because I already derived that conclusion from bakar, and aiter late son lasuye gizosa. Oh. So now Rabbi Yochanan rejects that answer, and he says no, ilo kosev rachmon bakar, even if it wouldn't have said the word Babakar, and it would have just said Batson, that would itself teach me Giza. I don't need the extra word Babakar to teach me that Batson is referring to the Giza. Lo hava minat son al gabi ora in al gabi Giza. So lo, I couldn't have made that distinction between the hide and the shearings, the wool, tiim kain, because if that be the case, then lichtov rachmana Bakar. So the Torah says ba bakar. So now Rabbi Yochanan is building his case on the extra base. I mean, until now, we thought Rabbi Yochanan was claiming that the entire word ba bakar is superfluous. No. We need the word bakar, but we don't need ba bakar. They came in the kosav rachmanet son tiafilu agabi gizosa is ba bakar lomali. Hashtet son al gabi gizosim is davin bokar al gabi oro mi boy. So he says the following. He says that if the Torah would have said bokar, right, and bokar, as we know, has no giza, it only has or, and if the Torah would therefore have bokar and not son, which son has the additional giza, then we would have to assume that the extra word son is coming to include giza. Now we already derived from babakar or, correct? That or is considered agav basa. So we don't need an extra word son to teach me or because I've already derived that from bakar. So why did the Torah add the word son? It would have to teach me, apparently, that not only can you apply avla to the or, but you can even apply the halacha to giza. So then, everything would have been derived from bakar and son. Right? Because bakar would have told me or, and son must be therefore adding giza. Is ba bakar lamali? Why do I need ba bakar? Is now that we know that so the extra base is coming to add something above and beyond, but we already know in the case of tzon, after you wrote bakar and tzon, we already know that tzon is coming to include giza. Is hashta tzon al gav gizosa mizdavna? Is bakar al gabi oro mi boy? I mean, if the Torah is telling you that in the case of tzon, you can not only apply havlah to the or, but you can apply havlah even to the giza, then what does the extra base of babakar, what is it coming to teach me? V'hainu dekom Rabbi Yochanan, now we come full swing to Rabbi Yochanan's original statement, My demitagin liba bokar aliv de ben bagbag movilna mone lebe masusa. So let me just see if we have like a summary of. So he says the following, he summarizes this. He writes, Rabbi Yochanan explains how each of the four cases is a greater chidush and a greater leniency than the one that preceded it. And therefore, the later case cannot be inferred from the prior case. Now Rabbi Yochanan goes a step further and he explains why the latter cases cannot be used to teach us the lessons of the prior cases, justifying the inclusion of all the cases. And he says the following, if the Torah would only had Bashechar, I would have said that what is this old wine? These are pressed figs from a place called Ke'ila, which resemble wine. They are intoxicating and they're considered fruits and may be purchased with Meiser Kesef. So if the Torah had only written old wine, which is called Shechar, as we saw, that's the Targum, then we would not know the principle of Havla, because old wine is telling us that this food is considered peri, and we shouldn't think that it's just it's just water that's been added to some fermenting. But in the case of Yayin, which is being purchased together with its barrel, I would assume that we don't have any room for leniency. We don't know the halach of Havla. Now the Torah teaches me the halach of Havla. If it would have just said Yayin and was selling the barrel, I would have said that the Torah is lenient here because the barrel preserves the wine. But in the case of sheep with its wool, I would say it's not permitted because the sheep do not preserve, the wool does not preserve the sheep. The Torah had to write sheep. And it tells us that the principle of Havla applies even to the regard to the wool of the sheep, even though it's not like the kankan of the yain. But now that we've justified three out of the four cases, Rabbi Yochanan is now going to conclude his question and say, Baboka Lomali, why do I need the phrase four cattle? If sheep can be prepared, can be purchased with its wool, that means we're going to apply Havla, then Kolshkein, how much more so cattle may be purchased with its hide, for the hide is an integral part of the animal, more so than wool. And if you'll say, to answer this question, that had the Torah not written for cattle, I would have thought that sheep with its hide, only with its hide, you can purchase it, but not with its wool, and therefore the Torah had to write for cattle to include its hide in the purchase. And then, after we have babakar to include the hide, now, and only now, we can use the extra word batzon, sheep, to teach us the wool. So Rabbi Yochanan rejects this explanation. And he says, just one second, I see one, he says, the proposed solution is based on the assumption that batzon, four sheep alone, would not imply the inclusion of both hide and wool. And now Rabbi Yochanan rejects this, and he will show that in fact both can be inferred from four sheep, and therefore Babakar is superfluous. Ilo Kosav Rachmana Bakar, if the Torah had not written four cattle, I would not have said that sheep with its hide, yes, but wool, no. Because if so, meaning that if Ubatzon is coming only to permit the hide but not the wool, let the Torah write instead for cattle to tell us that it includes the hides. He says, since cattle produce no wool, for cattle therefore must include hide, and it is more aptly serves to convey the inclusion of hide than Batzon. And now sheep would be superfluous. Right, you already derive from four cattle the inclusion of the hide. But since the Torah wrote sheep to tell us that even the wool of the sheep can be purchased, so why do I need four cattle? Now that I know that sheep with its wool may be purchased, is cattle with its hide is a question? The hide certainly may be included in the purchase. All right, he doesn't mention the extra bays here of Bav Bakar. I'll read to you what I have here. Just one second, if I can find it. One second. And I'll just read this out loud here. He says, "V'ein lahakshos me'achas shenemar shakan kan nimkar agav hayayin kem shamil yesh lomar yesh lomar mikan sha'or nimkar agav bos eshrei gam or." Sonas ha'gemara mishmo. Yeah, nochmo. Lichtov rachmona bokor. Shein lo gizim lo tzon. Me'achas shekvar lamanu mibokor. Sha'or behema nilkach agav ha'bosor. Es kemen sha'kosa rachmona tzon. Bokor lomali. Ashta. Agav lomali. You see those words, Lichtov Rachmana Bakar? So I thought, and I'm not sure where I saw this, that Lichtov Rachmana Bakar means without the extra bays. Mela Iser Lot Son Kosarachmana Son Afila Gabi Gizosa is Babokar Lomali. Yeah, but again, we only know that Son is Agav Giza from the fact that it mentions Bokar. Okay, I can't find it inside. I was going to read it to you inside, but that's what I think is going on over here. Okay, now, let's just see. Okay, so now we had the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Eliezer that you can buy Dagim with Kesef Maser, correct? That wasn't an issue. And now the Gemara is going to bring a machlokas tanoim about the status of dogim. Can you purchase dogim with kesef maser? B'maikom miflugi. What is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Eliezer? V'hani tanoi dilakamon. They agree, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer, that fish is considered peri, and it's nilkach b'maaser sheni. And they disagree with the following tanoim, which we're going to see later on, we didn't get to them yet, that exclude dogim from kesef maaser sheni. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Eliezer darshi, ribui umiyute, v'hani tanoi darshi, klole uprote. So the ribuye umiyute means a ribui, a miut, and a ribui. And a klal uprat means klal prat uklal. So let's go back to the pasuk itself that we mentioned at the beginning. It says, "V'nasata kesef b'chol asher ta'ava nafshecha ba'bokar ubatzon ubayayin ubeshecha b'chol asher tish'alcha nafshecha v'yachalta shom lefnei Hashem elkecha." So Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Eliezer, darshi ribuye umiute, which we said is ribui, miut, and ribui. V'nasata kesef b'chol asher ta'ava nafshecha ribu. Right, Torah says anything is included, anything that's edible. Then it says, "Ba'bokar batzon, ba'yayin ubashechar miyet," that you're only allowed to buy with kesef ha'sheni those four categories, or anything very similar to that. And then it says, "Bechol asher tish olcha nafshecha," that's the end of this pasuk, which is a ribui. And therefore, we're going to apply the principle of riba umiyet v'riba. Riba kol. So it's interesting. We're more familiar with what's called klal pratu klal, and the prat that's wedged between two klals is coming to restrict the application of the klal. But that's not the approach here of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer. And they're going to say that it's a riba miut v'riba, which is called riba hakol. My riba, my rabbi, rabbi kol mili. But wait a second. You yourself cannot deny, you admit for sure, that when it says bakar, tzon, etc., that's a miut. So what are you excluding? So that's an inner machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer. They all agree that fish, since it's edible, it's a dvar machol, is underneath this ribui. And that's called riba kol. So why then do you have a mute? So here we have an inner machlokes, in-house argument here. L'Rabbi Eliezer miyet tzir. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish miyet mayim umelach. So the nafkamina here is what happens if you have a mixture of tzir, you have no flesh of the fish, you only have its liquid, together with mayim and melach. And Rabbi Eliezer learns that this pasuk of baboker batzon as a miyut is coming to exclude tzir. As if to say, tzir is not really the fish itself, it's not a dover on nechal, and therefore you cannot buy it with kesef master sheni. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, no, tzir is considered dag. You know, it's the shuman of the dag, it's like the pri of the dag. And again, everyone's agreeing that dag itself, if you had the flesh of the fish, would be subject to kesef master sheni. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish is stuck with the following question. So why did the Torah exclude? What was the miut? And the answer is the miut is not for tzir, because tzir is the peri of the fish, but rather it's excluding mayim umelach, even if they were mixed together. But tzir is certainly nikneh bekesef maaser sheni. Now we get to hani tanoi, those tanoim that reject Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish. Darshi, they interpret it as klal uprat, klali uprate. So it means we have a klal, we have a prat, and we have a klal, and the prat is coming to limit the prat is coming to limit the klal. The sanya we learned in a brisa. V'nasata kesef b'chol asher nafshecha atav nafshecha klal babokar b'tzon v'yayin v'shecha prat. We have a klal prat uklal. Iata don elo ke'ein haprat. In other words, the prat is limiting the klal, not the way we saw it in Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yehuda. They were of the opinion that the klal includes everything. The prat is just a little bit of a miut, you know, one individual miut. No. Now we're saying that the prat is really revealing something about the klal. It's going to exclude something of substantial significance from the klal. And what is that? So we have a prat, a klal, and we have a klal, a prat, and a klal. Is iata don ella ke'ena prat. That the klal itself has to be whittled down by the prat. Ma prat, just like in the cases of bakar, tzon, behema, which are all born to its mother. And yayin v'shechar is born, so to speak, to anovim, which are planted. And, you know, as a result of the planting, you get grapes. And those grapes produce yayin v'shechar. So we have a prat that gives us pri. Pri means something that is generated by something else. It's a product of something else. Either it's a vlad, in the case of Bakur Tzon, that's born to its mother, or in the case of Yayin v'Shechar, we have peri de peri, right? We have the fruits of the fruits. Ma prat, just like Bakur Tzon, Yayin v'Shechar, meforosh, pri mi pri, right? You have something that's a pri and something that's created from the pri. Or in the case of Tzon Ubeima, that's created from its mother, it's Noldoli Imo. And they are all foodstuff that are Nizonim Ugdelim Eakarka. It's Afkol Priu Privigidule Karka. And that's going to exclude fish. Betanya Idoch, we have another brace that says Ma Prat, Meforish Vlad Vlados Haaretz, which is a Vlad Me Elusha Nivru Men Haaretz B'maisa Breishis, which means Shaperos V'Behemos HaRishonos Ba'olam Yatzu Min Haaretz. So that's based on a pasuk in Breishis. It says Vayomer Lakim Totze Haaretz Nefesh Chayo Lemino Behema V'Remes, etc. And in Paris it says Vatotzei Haaretz, Vatotzei Haaretz Deshe Esev Mazria Zera. So that's the Prat. It's all Vlad Vlados Haaretz, because in the creation of animals it all came from the Haaretz. Is Afkol Vlad Vlados Haaretz. You can buy with Kesef Mais Sheni anything that fits that. My Beinayu. Omar Abaye Dogim Ika Beinayu. The Nafkamina is Dogim Lemandi Omar. According to the Mandi Omar, who says that we're going to derive pre Vigidule Karka. Is Hani Dogim Gidule Karka Ninu? Now, do you read this with a sentence, or with an exclamation mark, or with a question mark? Let's just read one more line in the Gemara. Lamandi Omar, Vlad Vlados Haaretz, Dogim Mimaya Ivru. Ah! So the first Mandi Omar is classifying Dogim as Gidule Karka. Now, what does that mean? Why is that Gidule Karka? Right? So he says the following, that according to Abaye, Dogim on Nizonim in Akarka, that's the Lashon of Rashi, that Dogim Nizonim Misharshe Asovim Umi Ofar. I guess underneath the water, if I read this correctly, there are certain grasses, and you know, if you've ever gone to an aquarium, right, you'll see the fish that, you know, go into the little quad. He says, Nizonim Shekolda, or he says, this is more complicated, he says, Dag Ochel Dag Katan Mimeno. Alright. Anyway, the Gemara is going to reject this, but that's going to be next week. As far as this week is concerned, the Gemara thinks that fish are gidule karka. And therefore, if the prat, according to that first Tana, is coming to tell you you need gidule karka, then fish is included in gidule karka. But according to the second Mandi Omar, that you need vlad vlados haaretz, then dogim were not created by the aretz, if you go back to Sefer Breishis, but rather mimayim ibru. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Elokim Yishartzu Amayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya." Anyway, the pasuk indicates that the mayim create the fish. And now the Gemara is going to ask, "Umi Omar Abaye Dogim Gidule Karka Ninu?" Is it really true that according to Abaye, the way we have it now, Dogim are Gidule